We have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've made it to chapter 3. Our passage today is going to be verses 10 to 17. But I will read the last phrase of verse 9, which is because this is a continuation of what we were looking at last week. The Apostle Paul, at the end of verse 9, speaking to the Corinthian church, says, "You are God's building." And he goes on, verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." All right. Last week, we looked at verses 1 to 9, and I told you that it was part 1 of a longer lesson. So today we're continuing from what we looked at last week. So let me remind you what's going on. The church in Corinth was started by the Apostle Paul. He was stayed there for about a year and a half, left. After that, a great and godly preacher named Apollos went and taught there. Apollos also left, and so it's been a few years from the time that Paul started the church till when he's writing this letter. And there have been other teachers also in the church in Corinth. But the church right now, probably thanks to a bunch of not that great teachers, has become a bit of a mess. And the specific problem that Paul is dealing with in these first few chapters is divisions in the church. And these divisions are caused because people in the church are identifying themselves with teachers in the church. They're saying, "I am a follower of Paul. I am a follower of Apollos. I am a follower of whatever." Instead of being united and saying, "God is our Father, we're all brothers and sisters," they're breaking up into groups, saying, "Well, I follow, my teacher is better than your teacher." And so, last week, Paul explained what is the nature of a Christian worker, a Christian pastor or preacher. And he said, they are mere servants. Servants of God. They're not masters for you to to pledge allegiance to them. All right? God is the only one who deserves devotion. And therefore, what these Thessalonians were doing was completely out of place. And what Paul did, we saw last week, was he gave a picture of the church, and he said the church is like a field. And he explained it all. He said, the field is the Corinthian church. It's the church. And God is the owner of the field. And people like Paul and Apollos and other teachers are workers in the field. It was a pretty simple analogy. And so now, look at verse 9. He says, "For we are fellow workers, you're God's field." That's the end of the previous picture, analogy. And now he switches the analogy and says, "You're God's building." Later on in this same passage, we're going to see what kind of building this is. What kind of building is it? It's a temple. Or it's not just any building. It's a temple. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder," a wise architect is the actual word, "I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But the point of the passage today is basically the same. And to understand it even better, if we go back to ancient times, if you had a group of people who said, all right, let's build something, let's build a temple. The architect would come, the first builder would lay the foundation, but especially in ancient times, it would take a long time to finish a big structure like that. It could take decades, literally decades, to finish a big building. All right, so you have a person who lays the foundation, but then he might die along the way, and you have others who are still building on top of the foundation that the first guy built. All right, you're the church, you're the building, I was the guy who laid the foundation, I was the one that started the church, and now others are building on top of that, other teachers. All right, it's pretty simple. But then at the end of verse 10, he gives a warning. And this is what the entire passage now is going to be focused upon. He says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. This is the warning that goes through the entire passage. Be careful how you build the church. And this passage is mainly about teachers in the church. So there are applications we could make to everyone. Look at verse 11. Why? Why should we be careful? Verse 11, he says, because for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let's follow the reasoning here. He says, be careful how you build, because you can't lay a different foundation. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the foundation. So be careful how you build. Which implies to me that if you're going to build a church, it has to be done in accordance with Jesus Christ, in accordance with the gospel. You can't just have it, you can't just build any way you want. What you teach, what you do, has to be in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has to fit the building. You can't just build whatever you want. And you can't tear down the foundation either. If you tear up the foundation, you can build whatever you want, but it's not a church. Because there are a lot of people who have a social club or a business that they call a church. It's not a church. All right? If you're going to have a church, it has to be built on the correct foundation, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as He said early on. But here's the thing. Here's what he's going to get into now. Even if, follow me now, even if you have the right foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, even if you have a true Christian church, it's possible to have bad work going on. It's possible to have bad building going on, as it seems as was going on in Corinth. Corinth was a Christian church. He calls them brethren all the time. But there was a lot of bad teaching going on. A lot of bad living going on. So listen to what he says in verse 12. And this is mainly addressed to teachers. Listen to what he says. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, so he's saying there are different materials with which people can build the church, can build this building. All right? What are some of the materials? Gold, silver, precious stones. And you may be saying, those are kind of strange materials for building a building. We usually build with stones and bricks and cement and stuff like that. But remember, what are we building? It's a temple. If you read about Solomon's temple, it was full of gold and silver and precious stones. All right? So some people build this temple of God with good stuff. It's good teaching. Doctrinally correct. They're morally correct. The church is being built well, and it's like gold and silver. It's a wonderful temple. While others are using hay and straw and wood, things that can, they're not really solid and they're going to burn up really easily. And Paul is saying, he says in verse 13, on that day, the day will declare how good your work was. The day of judgment is going to be a fire of testing. And those things, if you have built a temple which is made of silver and gold, it'll go through this fire of testing and it'll stay strong. It'll be shiny and glorious in the end. Fire is not going to burn through that. But if someone has built a church and it's just hay, wood, and stone, and, you know, going to go up in flames, God is going to reveal who did a good job building the church and who did a bad job building the church. So some will have built a church which is going to be glorious. Others will have built a church, and I'm talking about local churches now. All right, I'm not talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking about local churches here. Some will have built churches which will be glorious on the day of judgment. Come forth shining, gold and silver. While others will have built churches where they're just all going to go up in flames. There's nothing there worthwhile. All the work that you put in really didn't amount to much. It's possible to be a Christian but be a bad pastor. It's possible to be a Christian but be a bad teacher. It's possible to be a Christian but be a bad leader. Or it's possible to be a good teacher but not live accordingly. And your life is an example to those around you, and that brings contempt upon the church and upon the people who are watching you. All these things. At the end of your life, if you have not been building right, everything is just going to be, God is just basically going to say, you've just kind of been wasting it. It's not that you weren't a Christian, but you were not doing a good job. You can have someone who is a wonderful speaker. You can have someone who's charismatic. You can have someone who's engaging. Someone who's charming and people love him. But if in the end he has a church that is just full of unbelievers, then you've kind of wasted your time. Here's one of the big lessons for me. Since this is about building a church with the right foundation, Jesus Christ is the foundation, and building it with correct teaching, with good teaching and good living, the lesson is I and you, all of us, need to know the Bible, first of all. It is vital to know the Bible, to have good theology, and to then live it out. Not just to know it, but to live accordingly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, and Timothy was a pastor, Paul says to Timothy, study or be diligent to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? You need to show yourself that you know what you're doing, so that you don't have to be ashamed. In other words, if you're not teaching right, if you're not dividing the Bible correctly and explaining what it says correctly, it's a shameful thing. You should be. It's a shameful thing to have the glorious foundation of Jesus Christ and to build on it with junk. You need to be careful how you teach and how you build the church. How are you doing it? Are you doing it in accordance with Scripture? Or are you doing it based upon other things? Now, having said that, in the verses that are left, Paul tells us what will happen on Judgment Day to those who are teaching. So again, this is aimed at mainly teachers and pastors, but I think we can make some application because we all hopefully tell others about Christ or in our families and so forth. So what will happen to the person who has built with good stuff, has built the church with good stuff, stuff that endures. Verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Great. What about the person who built with bad materials? Verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That final little phrase there, he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire, has had so much bad interpretation in the church with purgatory and all kinds of weird stuff that people have come up with. The picture is very simple. The picture is a man has built a building and it goes through the fire to see if it will stand the test, and it doesn't. The building catches on fire, it's ready to collapse, and the guy gets out in the nick of time. He himself is saved, but what he built is no good. Okay, that's the picture. It's nothing about purgatory or anything like that. All right? So, in these two verses, we have about two pastors, two Christian pastors. Both are saved, but one did a good job, one did a bad job. And one with the one that did not do a good job suffers loss. He has nothing to show for his work. You worked in the church all your life, and what do you got to show at the end? Nothing, because it was not a good job. You didn't teach well, you didn't live well, you didn't do anything that was worthwhile. On the other hand, if you did, you get a reward, it says. And now, whenever the Bible talks about rewards, evangelicals get kind of nervous. Because salvation is by grace. By grace alone. We are saved through faith alone in Christ. Nothing that we do merits salvation, right? So whenever we hear about rewards, we're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do about rewards here? Because rewards kind of implies that I did something and I'm worth the reward now. Well, don't worry. Paul is not talking about work salvation here. Because it's very simple. Follow me. Because the reward that he's talking about is not salvation. It's not heaven. Because both of these guys are saved. You follow me? Both these guys are saved. Both these guys are Christians. But one doesn't get a reward. So it's not that, well, this guy did a really good job, so now he earned salvation and went to heaven. This guy did a bad job, so he's going to go to hell. No, neither one of these two guys is going to hell. It's just that the one did a good job in the ministry and gets a reward, while the other guy did not do a good job in the ministry, and he's not going to get a reward. And you may say, well, what is that reward? I don't know. The passage doesn't say. Maybe he's given more crowns to throw at Jesus' feet. I don't know. But he's given some kind of reward. So Paul is not talking here about justification by works or anything like that. Okay, he's talking about the reward that good leaders in the church get, and what those who don't do a good job won't get. And let me also point out that even the good work that a good pastor may do, that's still by the grace of God. Later on in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about how I worked harder than everyone else. And then he's like, they may think that I'm kind of boasting here. So he's like, I worked harder than everyone else, but it wasn't me really. It was the grace of God that was working in me. All right. So just letting you know that if God chooses to save someone by his grace, praise the Lord. If God chooses to reward a pastor for doing a good job, that he is helped by his grace, praise the Lord again. Yeah, this has nothing to do with legalism. Paul is not teaching salvation by works or anything like that. That's not the context. But now we get to verses 16 and 17. Here's his conclusion. His ominous conclusion. He has talked about the pastor who builds the building well. And he has talked about the pastor who has built the building not that well. Now he's going to talk about the pastor who actually tears the building down. This is a different kind of person now. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Well, here Paul clearly states that this building is a temple. He says it. He's been talking about this building. Well, it's a temple. And when he says, you are the temple, he is not talking about individual Christians in this passage. He's talking about the church, the local church. Later on, in chapter 6, he is going to talk about individual Christians. How you are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Here, that's not what he's talking about. Here he's talking about the church as a whole, and the Holy Spirit dwells among us. All right? And he says, the church, this temple here, is holy. And when he says, if anyone defiles the temple in verse 17, I don't know why they use the word, I don't like the translation, because if anyone defiles the temple, God will destroy him. The word defile and the word destroy, it's actually identical in the Greek. All right. So, in other words, what he's saying is, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. It's the same exact word. If you destroy the temple of God, if you destroy the church, and we're talking about the local church now. Okay, no one can destroy the universal church, all right? No one can destroy, you know, God said, Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, all right? So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a local church now that is being built with teachers and pastors. If anyone destroys that church, God will destroy him. What it says. And this is the New Testament, by the way. I always find it fascinating when people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is this mean, angry God who destroys people, but the God of the New Testament is... No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is kind and long-suffering and gracious, but if anyone destroys the church, God will destroy him. Here, Paul is not talking about believers anymore. Here he is talking about unbelievers whom he will destroy. And you will say, Nico, but we're talking about pastors of a church. Yeah. Are you saying that there are pastors who are unbelievers? You must be new if that's surprising to you. Okay? How many churches in the world used to be good Bible-believing churches? And now, they're nothing but synagogues of Satan. They had pastors and leaders who came in, who denied what the Bible says, denied the gospel of Christ, denied the deity of Christ, denied all these things. And so what you have is, you have the original foundation, and you have the building there, but then these guys come in, and they're like, well, let's change the building. Let's tear down this wall and build the wall further out there. Let's tear down that wall and build the wall way out there. And at the end, what do you got? You got a building which is not standing on the foundation anymore. This is not a Christian church anymore because it's not standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And God says, if someone does that, God will destroy him. Something that we need to understand. God loves the church. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 1, I think. God loves the local church, the assembly here. There's a reason why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop doing that. Get together, meet together. There's a reason why the Bible says, come together to study God's word. Come together to hear the preaching of the word. Come together to pray. Come together to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. There's a reason it says that. Why? Because God loves it when his people come together to worship him. He wants that. He loves that. It is a holy thing. The Holy Spirit is here among us, and we are a temple to God. In many evangelical circles, we have a very low view of the church. Very low view of the church. Because we say, well, I'm not saved by going to church, so As though, well, that means that I don't have to be part of a church. Who cares? No. The entire New Testament would fall apart if you had that. Well, of course you're not saved by going to church. But the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus loves the church. Jesus died for the church. And Paul says the church is holy. It is a temple unto God. Christ loves the church. And if anyone destroys what God loves, God will destroy him. That's how much he loves the church. Let me just close with one of the big lessons here. We need to be careful about our doctrine, our teaching, and how we live. I need to be careful as a pastor. You need to be careful as a congregation that we are focused. What does it say here? Focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to be focused on those things which bring glory to Christ. If we are preoccupied with things that do not bring glory to Christ, we're just building with hay and straw and things that are going to be burnt up. Things that won't matter in eternity. We need to be building the church, building one another up with things that matter. The things that are of eternal significance. Just like gold and silver in God's sight. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.